Now entering Nerdist.com.
All righty, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up, what's up?
What's up?
Thanks,
how
guys.
How you doing?
How are you doing? This is a...
Today We Learned.
Today We Learned,
a podcast of knowledge.
A podcast
and comedy
of knowledge.
And fun and friendship. Yeah. Not necessarily in that order.
No.
It changes.
No order at all. There is no order to this show.
As Littlefinger would say, chaos is a ladder. Or his accent changes every week. Chaos is a ladder.
Yeah. He was on The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, oh, his American accent, that was terrible.
Was that part of your plan?
People were saying, get him for Doctor Strange, I will point you to The Dark Knight Rises. Terrible American accent.
Was that part of your plan, getting caught?
Hey there, Bane.
Hey, Bane, the Masked Man. We're trying to catch the Masked Man.
Please, just stop talking like this.
I'll be honest, I still love the fuck out of The Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, it's a good time. I will say, Dark Knight's my fave.
Oh, yeah. Dark Knight's my fave.
I will go...
That's so close, because Batman 89 and Dark Knight are tied.
Oh, I'm talking about Nolan trilogy.
Oh, the Nolan, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, it goes Dark Knight Begins and then Rises, in my opinion. Littlefinger. This is a very fun episode, as usual.
If you hear any screaming in the background, that's because the Meltdown show is about to get started.
Great Meltdown show
if you've never been here at Meltdown Comics, Los Angeles, California.
Yeah, the Meltdown with Kumail and Jonah. And Kumail, very funny comedians who also, obviously, as you know, have podcasts on the Nerdist Network.
Yeah, great network.
They have a Wednesday show, stand-up show every
voted
Wednesday.
Best in the city by LA Weekly. Yeah. So, and it's also coming to Comedy Central this fall.
Yeah.
But enough about them.
Enough about them.
More about us. Guys, if you thought last week's podcast was great, you were right. And thank you for the kind words.
Thank you for
and
the kind
good
words.
News, so is
so
this
is
week's.
This one. So is this week's. I mean, every episode is great. I'm not going to lie. Hashtag modesty. We're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But this is a really fun episode.
Guys, I know we say this every week, but I really mean it. We got a terrific guest here. Very excited to get this guy in the studio.
Yeah.
He's very funny.
Very funny guy. I met him here in Los Angeles. I just missed him in Chicago. He lived in Chicago before.
And you guys actually grew up pretty nearish
believe it
to
or
each
not,
other.
I missed him when I lived in Chicago. He just moved out, and I met him out here. But we also grew up like 8 miles apart. And I'm from Bay City, Michigan, and like 8 miles from that is a town called Saginaw, Michigan.
But we'll get into that shortly.
Yeah,
I think that's how we start things off.
Absolutely. So he'll explain all that.
Yeah,
but
no spoilers.
No spoilers.
There's going to be some Michigan talk.
Spoiler alerts. There's a lot of Midwest talk about Midwest about
couple
talks.
Couple Michiganlanders.
Yeah.
Is that the appropriate?
Michiganders.
Michiganders?
I think
What's good for the goose is good for the Michigander?
Yeah, you could say that.
Michigeese.
Michigeese.
Anyway.
Anyways.
Guys.
This is a very fun episode. As usual, there's some fun facts. Tell your friends about the facts. Google the facts. Whatever you need.
Yeah, but first, you know this guy from Twitter. He is the man behind the incredible Carl Wellzine, a.k.a. at Dad Boner. He is also a writer on Ridiculousness on MTV.
Yeah, Ridiculousness.
And he just wrote a book as well. What's the title of the book, Razzle?
It's called Power Moves.
Power Moves.
It's based off of the Carl Wellzine.
Yeah, so, you know, those are the kind of moves you want to be making.
Power moves!
You don't want to be making weak moves. You want to be making power moves.
Power moves.
So, guys, let's put your hands together. Clap wherever you are right now. Make a lot of noise. In the car, let go of the wheel.
Drive with your knees.
Steer with your knees.
Steer with your knees.
If you're in a library, tell the librarian to calm down. You're clapping.
Give this man a round of applause for Today We Learned number 41
with Mike Burns.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
So icing is when you run the guy up into the
icing
boards.
Is when you hit the puck to the other end, and then your guy touches it after it crosses a line.
Okay,
it's kind of like the offsides.
It's so you can't cherry pick. It's so you just can't have a guy waiting
hanging
down
out
there.
You need. Okay, that's right. That's when, like, if it goes, there's the three lines, right? There's the three lines.
Yeah.
The puck, once the puck goes on over the line closest to the opponent's goal, you can't touch it until a member of the other team has passed a certain line, right?
Someone has to touch it. You can't even. It can't just go.
Correct, yeah. But
you can't just launch the shit down.
Correct,
there.
but you can't have someone cherry picking it. You need to have.
You can't
some,
do that either.
Somebody's got to be over a certain line before it can be touched, right?
Yeah, you can handle the puck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, you can. You can bring it down yourself. You can pass to someone before that point. They can bring it down. But it's like same. Just think of it like in soccer.
Okay.
You can't have someone past all the defenders just waiting to get
right.
your pass.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
offsides.
Nor can you just. In hockey, you can't just launch the puck down there and be
yeah.
like, oh, go get it.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Nerd.
You just you can't. It's all set up so you can't burn time.
Yeah.
Cross-checking is when you check someone like this. In
okay, holding.
And usually in the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Like you, just
oh.
can't, you can't just clean someone
you
out
can't
in the
just
middle
be a dick.
Of the ice. You can do it up against
up
the boards.
Against
yeah.
boards. You
but
just
otherwise,
physically.
Yeah, because that's, you know, it's
there's
safer.
No,
it's
exactly,
safer.
Somehow.
You'll knock them down.
Somehow it's safer. Yeah, you'll
safer
knock them
as
down.
Opposed to flat on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, dudes would just be clearing people out
yeah,
all the time.
Oh, my God.
But that, I mean, they do, right?
It's the
isn't
NFL the
point?
Blitz
like,
version.
Isn't that, like, it's all acceptable.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, oh, you get a two-minute penalty.
Then you learn the other, then the third thing is that's what a power play is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Power play
I mean,
is
that's
when you have
that's
less
when,
guy.
Yeah.
If you have more guys, power play.
Yeah. That voice you hear is the very funny Mike Burns,
hey.
Creator of Dad Boner. We can say that now that it's been leaked, like everybody knows that, right?
Yes, you can.
It's creator of the
big secrets out of the bag.
Big secrets out of the bag. The Twitter, the huge Twitter account, very very funny Dad Boner, at Pizza Nacho 69, writer on MTV's Ridiculousness, very funny stand up comedian Mike Burns. Is with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen.
As usual, I'm Razzle.
And I'm Dan.
And this is an episode of Today We Learned. And,
welcome.
Yeah, as always, Mike, we like to start off the show with either the guests providing a fun fact about themselves or
mm-hmm.
something you learned recently, something interesting, no
like big
rules.
Or small, could be a
big
Snapple
small,
fact,
yeah.
could be something life-changing.
Any type of thing you learned recently or something about yourself.
Mm. If you could direct me in some sort of way.
Yeah. Say it really sad.
Say, so, yeah, like, I guess something about yourself. Say something about yourself.
Or maybe, like, a fact about your hometown people might not know,
yeah.
or...
Oh, I'm
yeah.
from Saginaw, Michigan.
Saginaw.
I am from the the same archetype
yeah.
That Razzle is from.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Except I am from the step below. Bay City is a more of a beautiful place. it's a little more spit-polished.
Yeah.
Saginaw is getting better, but it
yeah.
does have some issues in the... In the city area, it has the same feel of a Detroit and certain blocks where I would ride my bicycle as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Now you drive through there in a car when I'm home for Christmas, which is the only time I go home.
Gotcha.
And then you just see boarded up. And that's, you know, a yeah. testament to the lack of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Saginaw used to have a GM Powertrain there. Used to have quite a few factory work.
Steering gear?
Steering gear was in Saginaw.
Steering gear was what I heard out of my windows when I went to sleep at night as a child.
That close to it.
We didn't have air conditioning. Eventually, we got one air conditioner that we would put into my parents' bedroom. And then me and my sister would sleep on the floor in sleeping bags when it got really, really nasty
hot. Yeah, when
hot.
You couldn't sleep otherwise.
And
yeah.
Tell you what, it gets hot in Michigan.
Does
like,
it get humid
it
in Michigan?
Humid.
So thick.
Okay.
So
that's
thick.
The worst.
So
humidity, thick. That's the best part about Los Angeles.
Especially
it'll get hot, but there's not much humidity.
Especially in Saginaw, like Saginaw and Bay City, because it's literally like right on the water.
Right.
You got the Saginaw River there, then you got the it's right off the bay, essentially. I mean, it's
yeah.
So you get all of that.
So you would have to sleep with your windows open
mm-hmm.
in a box fan if
yeah.
I didn't sleep on their floor. For the majority of the time, I didn't want to sleep on their floor. You
mm-hmm.
know, some,
yeah,
and
exactly.
you would cave in. There were nights yeah. when you would cave in. You
yeah.
had to.
Yeah, tap out.
But other than that, I could hear Saginaw steering gear running all night long, the night shift, and you could hear this hum. And it was a combination of that, a booming bass, you know, 12 inches in the trunk
yeah.
Of people's shitty cars, and bugs, and an occasional gunshot and or firework.
Oh, lovely. Did it become white noise at a certain point?
Kind of, but when you're younger-ish,
yeah.
and this is a one-story city home,
yeah.
so it's, you know, up to my chest as a six-foot man is where there's just a screen and then outdoors. So literally, yeah. you know, you don't want the door shut.
No.
Yeah. Like,
there's things going on outside.
Yeah.
It's not a crime-riddled neighborhood, but it's certainly blue-collar, and if you go two or three blocks away from the house I grew up in, there were some bad things that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those bad things could traverse into your neighborhood,
yeah.
And the thought of someone just, how easy it was for me as a kid to come home and just pop open the screen and go in.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way for anyone else who wants to get in and murder me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Not the most relaxing
It's like
thoughts.
Especially in the summertime, the mosquitoes were so bad. So did, like,
oh,
I
yeah.
know in Bay City we would have the
mosquito
trucks. I'll let you explain them.
Screamingly yeah. loud these things were. And it was a pickup truck blasting mosquito poison out of the back.
Oh my yeah. God.
So you'd hear it coming.
It's like,
and
it's,
you would
and
scurry it, around your house and have to shut all the windows.
Like, hold your breath.
And hotbox your house.
Oh,
and
no.
it's got that Leslie sound, like on an ambulance, where you hear it from a distance,
yeah.
softer, and then it gets bassier and louder as it's coming, and then it passes, and it's just like a zzzz,
very
like very hum and like ugh.
And very apocalyptic in a
yeah.
sense, because it was always at dusk when
uh-huh.
it would come. So there's that eerie summertime dusk ambiance, and then there's bats. There's a lot of bats in my neighborhood
yep.
in the trees, and we would watch them fly around in the sky.
Yeah.
And then you'd hear, and this truck would come
yeah.
spraying like something out, like the Joker. It was coming
yeah.
to
yeah.
make everyone
yeah.
make everyone turn into ugly zombies
yeah.
or what and whatever.
These aren't like new trucks either. These are
no.
like trucks that look like they'd be in like Mad Max or something, like
yeah.
grimy green or like grayish, like very like,
and
it like
stunk.
Spot welded, like the engines and the sprayers were just like welded shittily to the back of these
yeah.
pickup trucks, and they had like an amber light or like some sort of a light some of them
oh
did
goodness.
And it was just like
and it's amazing the scent memory, like I'm sure
oh,
you can smell
oh,
it
yeah.
like you. You know, it's hard to describe,
it's like a
smell.
Time machine when you smell that.
But I can smell it in my brain right now.
So
and
get,
I must have breathed in so
yeah.
much of that chemical, because I remember, like, if my parents would catch us, you know, hey, everyone get in the house.
Yeah.
But there were times when you'd follow that thing with your bike, like, hey, mosquito truck, ew,
I'm going missing.
Covering your
yeah.
mouth, like
yeah.
you're breathing that in.
Uh-huh.
It's there to kill, you know, the billions of mosquitoes
so
in your backyard for blocks and blocks around.
Yeah,
not good to breathe in.
No,
yeah.
no.
So you got
that's a great memory.
You got poison
I forgot about
trucks.
This.
You got bats. You have potentially roving bands of murderers.
And then because mm-hmm. of so many mosquitoes. I was like, every other house at least would have some form of that blue light in the cage. Did you have one of those?
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's those bug lights. It's like a
bug zapper.
It's like a blue light. For those of you that don't know, it's essentially like a foot-long blue lightsaber in like a cage
yeah.
that would attract mosquitoes and moths and all of that. And then as soon as they would get in there, it would like zap them with electricity. So,
and you'd have to put on mosquito spray also.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Before you went outside.
Yeah.
I forgot about that, too,
off,
that was
off,
a thing.
Remember,
uh-huh.
off?
Yeah.
Because
yeah. bug
you,
off.
You
yeah.
go outside at night in the dark and sit in a lawn chair on the lawn. Without any mosquito spray
oh.
on, you are in for a nightmare
oh, yeah.
of skin situation.
Your
for the
skin
next,
will be brail by the next
yeah.
day.
It's so bad.
Oh.
And you just eventually, you would just say, you know, screw it. I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
And just
mm-hmm.
scrape
or
your skin
yeah.
off.
The heat and just wearing clothes and like,
yeah.
and like throughout the night, you know, even if you're just lounging on your porch, all you hear is zzz, zzz,
right.
like all over town. It's just like zzz. From the bugs getting killed. And
they'll get in your house.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
you'll be sleeping and you'll just hear, and that's a mosquito in your ear hole.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst. When you hear
man.
It and you're like, where
yeah.
is this?
Yeah.
yeah. And then did you ever, and here's a, this is so stupid and so, like, when the mosquitoes would land on you, like, when you're a teenager or whatever, you're like, yeah, I'm tough, I'm going to watch this. So here's a trick. If you do have mosquitoes and you've never done this and a mosquito lands on you, fact about mosquitoes is once they start sucking, they can't stop sucking until they're done.
Yes.
So when they land on you and they start like sucking your blood, guys, I would do this. You flex your muscle
mm-hmm.
and it prevents the mosquito from being able to leave. Like your muscle
right.
and all that contracts.
Just lock them in there.
So it locks the mosquito in there. So if you do that hard enough and you do that long enough, the mosquito continues drinking blood and it'll explode
yes.
on your skin because it can't stop sucking blood. So it'll just, but side note, if that happens, it doesn't leave a bump because the reason you have a mosquito bump is because of when they're pulling out, they do something like they, some
why
sort of bacteria.
Pull out of
right.
it is
yeah.
widely discredited.
When they pull out and shoot it
yeah.
on your arm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will say, if you're being bitten by a mosquito, it's a female. Okay. Males feed on flower nectar. Females need the blood in order to lay eggs.
Okay.
Blood-sucking women.
Yes, all mosquitoes. Hashtag yes all mosquitoes.
Yes all women is fun to say after random things. That is my new, that is my new favorite thing to make me laugh. And it's so inappropriate, but you know what? You have to enjoy things. It's just anything. Yes all women.
I'm also a fan of hashtag no tall men.
Yes.
No tall men.
No
tall men.
I love how that was like, it started off as like a not all men and guys were like seriously angry, and then all the smart and funny people are just like, no tall men. We're gonna take your hashtag.
This is a hobbit hole. Yeah. No tall men.
No tall men. Hashtag no tall men. Here's a fun fact. To get to our list of facts here, of random facts here, I learned this the other day. I'm a child of the 80s, as are everybody at this mm-hmm. table here. And everybody's familiar with the show Goonies, the movie Goonies.
Yes.
When Sloth was like...
Sequel coming soon.
A famous... one of the main characters or one of the ancillary characters, a gentleman by the name of Sloth. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows who Sloth is.
Sloth Love Chunk.
Yeah. Sloth Love Chunk. There's a scene where when he lands on the pirate ship at the end, he says, "Hey, you guys." And he's like, "Hey, you guys." He mm-hmm. says it like that. Mm-hmm. I always thought that was just from the Goonies. Like, I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's from the Goonies." But I realized this the other day. It's not.
No.
It's actually a reference to the season 2 intro of the children's show The Electric Company.
Correct. Precursor to Sesame Street.
Which was a... established in 1971, and it was actually they established that as like a, like if you're, you know, when you're young, you're watching Sesame Street, you're like 3 to 4 or whatever, then you grow up and you need something a little more humorish or whatever, so
right.
Electric Company would air after Sesame Street, and it was like the second generation of Sesame Street, and here's some fun facts about
Super
the
rad Electric. Show
yeah
it went Sesame Street yeah. then Electric Company and then 3-2-1 Contact
3-2-1 Contact goddamn right,
which
yeah.
had the Bloodhound Gang
yeah
on it, which made that show, and I felt like every episode of 3-2-1 Contact, you'd wait for Bloodhound Gang, and then yeah. they'd say, "Tune in next week for another exciting episode of the Bloodhound Gang." And they wouldn't play it. And you'd be like, "What did you make me watch yeah. this for?"
It's like, that's how they get you.
I watched all your science shit. Yeah. Where's the Bloodhound Gang?
They're hooking you while they're young. And yeah, Electric Company was an awesome show. And here's some. The Electric Company is an educational American children's television series. It was produced by the Children's Television Workshop, now called the Sesame Workshop,
mm-hmm.
for PBS. it broadcast 780 episodes over the course of its 6 seasons from October 25th, 1971 to April 15th, 1977. It was an intended program for children who graduated after Sesame Street. Notable alumni.
Morgan
mm-hmm. Freeman and yeah. Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby. Yeah.
Very hip show.
Very hip show.
Yeah,
very,
it also had Joan Rivers, Gene Wilder, Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks did voices on that.
And
yeah.
doesn't the Electric Company also have The Amazing Spider-Man?
They did. It was mm-hmm. one of the first incarnations of a television yeah. televised live-action Spider-Man.
Similar to the Tracy Ullman Simpsons connection
yep.
was the Spider-Man
yeah.
episodes. Again, you'd watch Electric Company to see Spider-Man.
To see Spider-Man.
Because things like that didn't exist necessarily
no.
anywhere else.
No, I mean, this is 19, you know, the early 70s, you know, yeah. that it was, you know, back when you had still 12 channels, really,
right?
You know, and fun fact about that too is Spider-Man, there was a in the early seasons, like the first season, Bill Cosby was Spider-Man. Bill Cosby wore the Spider-Man costume.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's amazing. It is amazing.
I was reading on Wikipedia, and it says, I can't remember verbatim, but it says, then so and so was hired to play Spider-Man after Bill Cosby.
It was Danny Segrin, who was a puppeteer who worked on yeah. Sesame Street.
So to just think of
it's your friendly neighborhood Puddin' Pop.
Yeah, yeah.
You see.
You see, Aunt May?
Peter, I don't know what you're saying.
And then I can't do a Bill Cosby, but I just envision him saying it. Then I got Dr. Octopus the soup, but it's you.
The doctor in the octant.
Yeah, so that kind of blew my mind hearing that, because I always, you know, I never... It was only on the second season was that, "Hey, you guys," and I just always thought, yeah. Chunk, you know. And it's always interesting and cool to go back to childhood movies of mine and see that they were doing callbacks to things when those
exactly.
were sure. kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a never-ending circle of nostalgia mining.
It's much like the Circle Game. Do you guys remember the Circle Game? Where if you look at the
below
circle...
Below the waist.
Like we had that in Michigan.
Punched. Yeah.
People had that, like...
Yeah, it's just
people
one of
had that all over. It's
spread.
One of those games
it's
that
an
just spread.
Insane game.
And then in high school, it was an episode of Malcolm in the Middle, and it's like, so writers from L.A. in the 90s knew about the Circle game when we knew about it in Michigan,
right?
In the you know the 80s. It's weird.
And if I may go back to the Electric Company for a second, Bill Cosby left the show in 1973. Also in 1973, going back to sports, Elmo Wright of the Kansas City Chiefs performed the first ever end zone dance when he ran in place, pumping his arms and legs after catching a touchdown pass on November 18th, 1973.
Wow.
So he's the father of modern showboating.
Oh, wow.
Amazing. I love showboating.
Yeah.
Love
it's the, I get mad when they fine players for doing dances. It's the
especially
best.
Especially at college where you can't do it.
Yeah.
What do you... Come on. There's 85,000 people just watched me do something. Do something so spectacular.
I'm not getting paid for this. I'm paying to do this right now. I'm paying $40,000 a year to go to this college and play football for you.
Let me have this. Yeah, let me have something.
Please. I need this desperately.
Let me pretend
I'm failing every class.
Let me pretend to throw a grenade that my teammates will explode over.
Is Sloth watching the Electric Company when he's watching this television in his little room? Is that
you know?
Because don't they say? Don't they? Isn't he watching Electric Company? They say, "Hey, you guys."
He's watching something.
I'm pretty sure they say, "Hey, you guys." That's where he gets it from. That's the callback that everyone is reminded that you know Sloth.
Yeah.
Was watching that on television.
You know what? I knew he was watching something, but I guess I haven't seen Goonies in a few years, so that might be it. Because he's chained up there, and he's like. You know what? He might be watching the Electric Company.
You watch that clip. I bet he's watching the Electric Company. The Goonies was confused me as a kid. I still have all the Goonies training cards at my parents' house. I have the full set. And in the set, there is a scene where you know you're familiar with film trading cards like Batman, etc. There's a scene where they're fighting an octopus, or a squid, or a giant squid in that lagoon, which is not in the movie, but it was in the movie when they made the trading cards before they made the final edit.
Okay,
so as a kid, I saw it at the movie theater, and there's no other way to see the film after you've paid $8 at the Quad in Saginaw, Michigan.
The Quad.
You can't just look it up on the internet.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought that I just blanked out on this whole scene and thought until it came out on VHS cassette, and one of my friends rented it who had a VCR because we didn't. Whenever that was, like, you know, a year and a half after the movie was out, movies didn't come out on VHS forever.
Yeah,
they took their sweet time.
Had to go to Curtis Mathis.
And it was probably 2 to 3 years before I could confirm to myself that it wasn't on there. And then I thought maybe it was in the film and not on the VHS. Thoroughly confused me.
Yeah.
Also, the Goonies had a
they filmed it and cut it.
Yeah.
But the
video game was the Goonies 2.
Yes.
And I don't believe there was a Goonies 1 video game, and that confused me also that I missed the second Goonies film that the video game was based
like,
on.
What is happening with this Goonies timeline?
You could have been busy with T-ball that year or Bantam League in the summer and you missed the movie and it didn't do very well. Your parents didn't alert you to it because you didn't read the paper.
We better not tell them about Goonies 2.
Who knows? Very, very
That's
confused that there was a Goonies 2. And I think I was in college playing Sega Genesis because we had one in the basement.
Yeah.
And I was like, Goonies 2, did that? Could that come out? Like when I was in college, and this was probably 1997.
Yeah,
there was no like internet for the most part. You could look up David Letterman top 10 lists in the lab, but I never owned a computer until well after
college.
There
wasn't college. The Wikipedia or the Reddit of knowledge.
No, there was
nowhere to find out.
Was like WhiteHouse.com.
Yeah, there was like those giant. I remember I used to have a giant collection of. It was like a 3,000 page book of like movies and reviews or whatever like that, and it was like that's how you found out.
Oh,
about
yeah, like
movies
you get the Leonard Maltin book every year.
Yeah,
I was still taping movies off of stolen cable on extended play VHS cassettes, doing three at a time. Like I had really good ones, you know, like I had one with like From Dusk Till Dawn and Goodfellas and a bunch of unedited Tupac videos with full nudity in them that I'd gotten off of an unscrambled Playboy channel.
Oh, nice.
And that was like my favorite one.
Yeah,
and you come home drunk in college, I'd put those in.
Yeah.
And you just drift off to it, wake up, turn it back on.
Hangover mixtapes.
I vividly remember a cassette, a VHS cassette that had, you know, the white sticker, and on it it had Top Gun / Kramer versus Kramer written in, like, Sharpie.
Right.
Like, because you'd record, you'd record them off of, like, the free HBO for the weekend or whatever, or you'd borrow your uncle's or your cousin's VHS and just dub, you know, just do, like, a go to the, you know, rent a bunch of movies and just record them.
Put the tape over the old hole, like the big security defense was,
there's no hole.
You'll never get past this.
And then I do remember at the end of Goonies too, like they even I think they mentioned one of the kids is like, and then there was a squid or whatever, and it's like there's no
oh yeah they do in the rant yeah. And then there was a giant squid they do like, do the, that on the beach
yeah the cops come up and they're like, oh, then there was a giant squid or whatever, and
you're
and,
right and, why did they leave that in there?
IMDb goofs.
It probably was like the same reason why Spielberg kept Jaws out, because it looked so shitty.
Yeah, there's like, just no there's no way to edit that out of the rant.
Cool.
Yeah.
Goonies, fun facts.
We're talking about insects earlier. Here's a quick little one.
Absolutely.
South Carolina actually has a designated state spider, the Carolina wolf spider.
Oh, I hate spiders.
Because I assume they are a bunch of monsters.
Cool name, though.
Yeah, right? Carolina wolf spider.
That should be a blues name. That should be a mascot.
Yeah.
The Carolina wolf spiders. Yeah. What a badass.
It's way better than I guess Tar Heels are UNC.
Or the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah. Charlotte wolf spiders. It's a big fucking spider with a wolf head.
What the hell is that?
Yeah.
It's a
nightmare.
The head of a nightmare team.
Just has a little t-shirt gun blasting silk into the audience.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's partnered with like a mad scientist. And it's like the mascot costume has like a wolf head and like eight arms of like a spider or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be a good superhero too.
Yeah,
like it'd be like
Wolf Spider-Man,
half Wolverine, half Spider-Man, both Wolverine with both things, like, claws
and webbing.
And able to climb.
Yeah, and spider sense.
And extra strength. Oh wow!
Green light.
Yeah,
write that movie. Yeah. Johnny That's, Hollywood
that
make
is
that
dynamite.
Now you have a you've written a book. It's Power Moves.
Yeah.
And it's based off of Carl. What's his last name again?
Welzine.
Carl Welzine. For those of you that aren't familiar, it's a very funny book. It's based off of the Twitter persona Dad Boner.
Yeah.
Now he's always talking about having brewskis and like barbecuing and like just real American stuff. And so I got a fun fact about grilling out here.
All right.
The fun fact about, I guess we'll start with charcoal here first. Charcoal briquettes were popularized thanks to the Ford Motor Company. The factory would make these Model T Fords and Model A, they'd make these cars out of wood, and they'd have all these wood scraps on the ground. And Ford decided to use those to make.
Yeah, it was a process. It was first created, this process, back in 1897, this guy, Ellsworth B.A. Zwoyer, of the Zwoyer Fuel Company, he developed this process for taking charcoal and turning it into this sort of like little briquette.
Yeah.
But then, because of all the excess wood scrap and materials that Ford had, they really kicked that up a notch, made it a very popular process.
Yeah. And the Kingsford Company, the popular charcoal company, the Kingsford Company, was formed by Henry Ford and his cousin, E.G. Kingsford, during the early 1920s.
And that was essentially a gift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's hey, man, here you go.
Yeah. And
this one's on me.
They used to, they used to sell bags of the charcoal at the Ford dealerships. So if you're buying a new car or whatever, you know, and you wanted to grill out or whatever, you'd go there to buy bags of the charcoal.
I can't see a bag of Kingsford without singing the song. Gonna Kingsford tonight. That's like the 80s Kingsford
I don't remember that
jingle.
But I will be YouTubing those, and I love those jingles.
So awesome.
Yeah. And the Kingsford Company was formed when E.G. Kingsford, a relative of Ford's, brokered the site selection for Ford's new charcoal manufacturing plant. The company, originally called Ford Charcoal, was renamed in E.G.'s honor. So that's some fun fact about Kingsford Charcoal Company. And that brings us to Weber Grills. The original, when you think of Weber, you think of the ball, just a red and a black Weber grill, you know. The original round kettle grill was built by a gentleman by the name of George Stevens Sr., a part owner of the Weber Brothers sheet metal shop in Chicago, who sought to improve on the brazier he had been using to cook at home. Now, before this, they were, you know, grills were just little boxes and little, like, really rinky-dink things that it'd be hard to cook because there was no top. It was just just, you know, the charcoal heating up. So yeah. it would burn the outside and leave the inside raw. So George Stevens Sr., who worked at this sheet metal shop, he invented the prototype of the very first Weber grill. It was a grill he produced using two sheet metal half spheres normally used as parts of buoys that they built in the shop there. And because the grill became so successful after he began selling it in 1952, Steven formed the barbecue division of the Weber Brothers factory, and then he later ended up buying Weber grills.
Nice. I love those. Yeah. So that's a classic.
Exactly. It's a classic grill.
Yeah,
it's one of those like iconic. It's kind of like it's maybe not as well known, but you know, you think you say Weber, you instantly picture what it is. Kind of like Kleenex or Xerox.
Absolutely.
Like that.
You think charcoal grill, and you instantly think that round ball.
Yeah.
You know, with the two halves. The
Smoky Joe. That's the little one. Is the Smoky Joe?
Is that the little portable one?
Yeah. Nice. It's the mini version. Yeah. But having lived in various apartments in like New York, Chicago, and here, That's your go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's plenty fine.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Gets the job done.
We used one the other day. I took some cinder blocks. I made it up high with a base, and then used the Smoky Joe. Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the Weber Grill in Chicago?
I have not.
The restaurant.
Really?
They have a restaurant with
awesome.
Big-ass Weber Grill on the outside.
I've seen it.
I know. Paraphernalia all over. It's okay, but I like going there because it's a restaurant named after and based on Weber grills, and they cook everything in Weber grills. If you look in their kitchen, it's a lineup of those grills. It's a lineup of those Weber grills that they cook all the food on in the restaurant.
Yeah, it's I've never been in, but I read that they were customized grills for that, and they're constructed to where everybody in the restaurant can see their food being cooked on the grill. And if I remember correctly, I think isn't it Caddy Corner from Hard Rock, I think. I can't remember, but I know House of Blues.
The former House of Blues.
Yeah,
I forget what it is. I stayed there last summer for a comedy festival, and my parents came to visit, and that's where I wanted to go. You don't want to go somewhere else, Michael? I'm like, I just want chain restaurant, like cheeseburger lunch. Yeah. Like, that's what I want. I want a family restaurant. That's what I prefer. I want a cold beer. I want a cold Sam Adams in a glass, you know, and I want curly fries as an option, and I want an appetizer because you're paying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yes, we will take the spinach,
and
dip.
It's walkable because I don't want to get into a cab situation with the fam because they're from Saginaw, Michigan, and everything becomes an event.
Yeah,
let's just wander over to the Weber Grill, and I remember we sat outside a lovely meal.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's I remember vividly. I lived in Chicago, obviously, before here.
Yeah,
and I remember like. I remember the grill like hanging on the side. It's on the corner, and it's just like really like, hey, look at us. This is what we're popular
for. The big red grill like sticking out of the side of the building.
Yeah,
Very close to Billy Goat Tavern.
Yes.
Which is that may be in my top. I'll go as far as three food items that I could consume on a deathbed situation, or if I could just have that for the rest of my life.
Money's no object.
Double cheese from Billy Goat Tavern, maybe my favorite thing to eat. I just love them. So I wish someone would hand me one of those every morning when I wake up. I say that about those, and I say that about just a Johnsonville brat on a bun. Yeah. Every morning I wish someone would walk into my room and say, hey, sailor, wake up.
Yeah.
Here's a
time to start the day.
No mustard, no nothing, just a nice meat stick in a bun, and just that's
so good.
That's those a dynamite good. Breakfast.
And then Jimmy John's, you're a fan of Jimmy John's.
Big fan, had it today.
They just came
that's
out.
Interesting.
They moved here now. They just opened one up like a few weeks ago.
On 7th.
Yeah.
Me and Comedy's Mike Bridenstine had that for lunch today. Oh. Italian nightclub, not on the club bread. No. You get that on the French roll.
Yeah,
you get that.
Jimmy John's are so good.
We sat there, and you have to go in tandem in L.A. because the parking's so abhorrent.
So
you go, you pre-order on the way, which they didn't even start the sandwiches, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But then you park, you have someone run in and grab your nice Jimmy John's sandwiches, and it's amazing to eat those. And think of all the terrible sandwich options that you have in Los Angeles. No one figures out why is it so hard. Why I don't understand.
I've been to a couple good places, but they're still not great.
You shred the lettuce. You cut the onions very, very thin. You add an oregano, an Italian vinaigrette, And the mayonnaise mixes with that vinaigrette and the salami and the cheese. You put some hot peppers on there, maybe giardiniera, what have you. They have hot peppers now, but not giardiniera.
See, my problem with a lot of the sandwich places in Los Angeles is the one, like the ones that have figured it out, they'll start charging you like $10 or more for your sub.
Yeah. Because it's a monopoly.
Hard to get a sandwich here.
It's hard. It's hard to get really good pizza too, I feel like, because you know you got the New York or Chicago. I mean, like DiGiorno's. How do you say that?
DiGiorno.
Not delivery.
Not DiGiorno.
Not delivery.
Not DiGiorno. But there was a place in Chicago off of Southport and Wrigleyville, DiGiorno's or something. I don't know. I'm mispronouncing it.
It's Giordano's.
Giordano's, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they had really amazing pizza.
It's good.
But out here, it's hard to find really like an original, you know, pizza parlor.
I will say. Yeah.
Lou Malnati's is my favorite in Chicago.
Yeah.
You can order those. I've done that. I've had them shipped here to me for gifts. They come in dry ice.
Nice.
They heat up in the oven. They're amazing.
They were good.
They're That's amazing. Awesome. They ship so well.
Rico Benny's had some good ones.
Yeah. Here I go to Casa Bianca in Eagle Rock. That's my favorite pizza.
I'm a big fan of Garage Pizza over in Silver Lake.
Garage Pizza is great.
Yeah.
And they deliver.
Yeah. It's super close to my apartment, so it's ideal.
I like
Shout
that.
Out to Garage Pizza.
Garage Pizza?
Yeah.
And Hard Times Pizza, I'm a big fan of also.
I don't think the one on Hyperion?
They moved to Echo Park.
Okay, I was going to say, because that's a new place now called Z Pizza, because I was bummed. I didn't know where they went.
They moved over by me in Echo Park by the McDonald's, Burger King, etc.
Yeah, I know
what
you're talking
about. By the Vons.
Yes.
That place.
The Vons with Taco Zone?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
that place has maybe the closest to an authentic Italian beef that you can get in Los Angeles.
Oh, interesting.
They cook it correctly.
Okay.
It comes on the correct roll, and it has authentic giardiniera on it.
Oh,
amazing.
Sounds good.
$7.
Oh man.
And you get a slice while you wait, but that Italian beef is so good, and they have. They have such integrity that I called the other day and ordered one for delivery or pickup, I forget. And they said, look, our chef, I don't know what he did to it, but he didn't cook it correctly. And it's very, very dry. I don't want to serve it to you. And I was like, wow.
That's
great.
Amazing.
You know, that's amazing.
Yeah, seriously. Props to that for them.
Amazing.
That's classy. That's very like artisanal or whatever the word is. Like, where they're like, you know what? We stand by our product so much. We don't want you to have a bad batch.
It's fun to say. That's what I like going there because the Dusty Rhodes reference. Hard times pizza, daddy.
Yeah. You
know, hard times when a computer took your job, daddy. That's hard times. It's from a famous Dusty Rhodes promo for wrestling.
Famous, Dusty Rhodes. His dad was, or his son was...
Cody.
Yeah.
Gold Dust. Both great. Gold Dust is a very, very, very active and a huge superstar currently.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him return.
Awesome.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
A lot of older wrestlers who had taken a break are now coming back to sort of cash on that nostalgia factor.
Yeah.
Gold Dust as a worker in the ring is amazing. He leaned out. He does a DDP yoga.
Diamond Dallas Page yoga.
That's a thing.
I have some friends. My coworkers do it.
It's a savior to a lot of ex wrestlers. He's taken them under his wing.
Yeah,
it's an amazing product. Leans out guys like that have been pumped with all kinds of garbage for years and put on too much bulk.
Yeah.
Leans them out, makes them healthy again.
Mm-hmm. Back when wrestling was, you know, mostly bulk, not just all muscle.
Yeah.
You know, in the 80s, it was just big guys. It wasn't all like...
They train differently now. Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, DDP Yoga is Diamond Dallas Page.
Mm-hmm. Diamond Cutter.
Bang.
yep.
Yeah. He became kind of a fitness guru of sorts and started this program where it's sort of yoga for people who don't necessarily go in for the whole... Vinyasana, spiritual, like calming Zen aesthetic.
Yeah.
Then you know it's more of an aggressive but quick, easy to do workout.
Kick your ass.
Yeah.
Like hey, like this can be masculine also. It doesn't have to be
exactly.
Incense.
Yeah.
No.
You can put light incense if you want.
Yeah.
your discretion.
If you like.
It depends on what you want your place to smell like.
Yeah.
We were talking about food. We were talking about pizza and all of that. And here's a segue into some Lucky Charms. I like cereal, obviously. Mm-hmm. As it's very
that's
nostalgic.
A fact.
It's a fact.
That's a fact.
So here's a little fun fact about Lucky Charms. For those of you that don't know, Lucky Charms is a cereal brand produced by General Mills Food Company of Golden Valley, Minnesota, in the United States. It first appeared in stores in 1964. Now, the cereal consists of two main components, toasted oat pieces and multicolored marshmallow shapes, the latter making up over 25% of the cereal's volume. Now, Lucky Charms, they were created in 1962 by a gentleman by the name of John Holohan, General Hills, John Holohan. General Mills management, essentially, they were looking for something new. They wanted a new product. So they challenged a team of product developers to use the available manufacturing capacity from either General Mills' two principal cereal products, Wheaties or Cheerios, and do something unique. Holohan came up with the idea after a visit to the grocery store in which he decided to mix Cheerios with bits of Brock's Circus Peanuts.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if some of you might not remember, but Brock's Circus
Peanuts. Big orange
peanuts. Big orange hunks.
They're usually in the bag where it's like two for a dollar.
I was a big fan of those.
They were big. I remember my mom loved those, and she would always have those on hand.
So
like,
good.
So good. And so he cut up some circus peanuts, and he mixed them with Cheerios, and that's how he initially came up with the idea for Lucky Charms.
Smart.
Lucky Charms is the first cereal to include marshmallows in the recipe.
Wow.
So, you know, obviously that's a thing now. You know, you got alphabets, you got all sorts of cereal with marshmallows. Lucky Charms was the first cereal to include marshmallows. And the first boxes of Lucky Charms cereal contained marshmallows in the shapes of pink hearts, yellow moons, orange stars, and green clovers. And obviously the lineup has changed occasionally, beginning with the introduction of blue diamonds in 1975, purple horseshoes in 1983, and what I remember vividly from my childhood, the red balloons in 1989.
Yeah.
Was that Lucky after the success of Luft Ballons?
It was on the box, and Lucky would be being carried off by red helium balloons.
Exactly.
Like sad bastard off to no cereal land.
Yeah. Fun fact, in 1975, General Mills tried to replace Lucky with a character named Waldo the Wizard because focus groups rated Waldo way higher than Lucky.
Oh, wow.
But despite the high testing, the character bombed, and within a year,
that's some
he
store
was
brand
moved.
Bullshit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Waldo the Wizard is the generic brand that comes in the bag.
The giant bag.
No
yeah.
box, just the bag. I'm surprised that no one has sold those marshmallows by themselves.
That's
yet.
like why the fuck not?
I've
General Mills.
One of my ex-girlfriends would buy Lucky Charms and eat the marshmallows. Just that. She'd take the box, dump it out, or put it in a bowl and just sit there and sift through it and just eat the marshmallows and throw away the rest of the
really?
Cereal. Yeah.
See,
she just loved it.
The cereal is delicious, but the marshmallows, they're not like your standard marshmallow.
No.
They're like the fake, chalk. Like compressed chalk.
Very chalky.
Like you feel like you know you're eating something artificially produced.
You know you're eating, it's like a cereal marshmallow.
Yeah.
It creates a very, very distinct mouth aura when you eat those.
Oh, man.
The mouth feel.
So good. And it's like you can feel it. You can feel it and hear the crunch while you're eating it. And they're so delicious, but
I'm surprised they haven't sold those in a candy capacity.
Yeah. Like, even in like a box, like a small box.
Like that movie size box of just Lucky Charms marshmallows.
Oh my
gosh. Think people would buy those.
People go,
little kids? Like,
go crazy.
Shark, what is that? Shark Tank? Let's go on Shark Tank. And
yeah, pitch that to, what's his name? Rick,
the bald guy.
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban.
I think that should exist. The other thing I think should exist is just the cheese mixture for macaroni and cheese. Okay, now, because there's no reason for that box of macaroni to cost that much.
No,
that's
exactly.
A nickel to 10 cents it's worth of macaroni, and all
noodles.
You're doing is to buy that powder.
Yeah.
Now, why doesn't Kirkland Signature at Costco make a large-sized tub?
It's like a whey protein size.
Correct. A clear plastic thing that with a scooper that they sell for $10.99, which makes, you know, it says on there, makes, you know, 100 boxes worth of macaroni, and then you buy that, and then you just buy giant bags of just elbow macaroni.
300-pound bag of macaroni.
Which on sale, you buy a big bag of that for $1.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe 70
They're
cents
smart
on sale.
And final or whatever, and you can buy those.
It's just macaroni.
Costco.
Yeah.
Add butter, add a scoop of that, bang.
You
can make a big batch then, too, because sometimes you make two boxes. And
it's hard to tell. It says two servings.
Yeah.
But two of who?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Maybe you got a bunch of people coming over.
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, grill some hot dogs or make some burgers outside. Yeah. Who doesn't want a big pot of macaroni and cheese? Like a big ass pot of it.
Now I'm getting hungry.
Man, have you ever put that cheese powder on popcorn?
No, but I've got so well, I've good. Gotten it in the little shaky.
Yeah,
and done that.
It's the you put that macaroni and cheese powder over popcorn, and it's amazing.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Wow, that's smart.
I will say, I made a mistake recently when I was a little my state was slightly altered. I was a little inebriated, and
sure.
I was out of milk. I was out of butter. Still wanted to make mac and cheese. And the only thing in my fridge remotely containing lactose was creamer.
Okay.
And I did not realize until it was too late that it was French vanilla creamer.
Oh, no.
And I tried to compensate by adding in, like, more cheese on top.
Yeah. That's
did just, not work.
That's
it was just it was
good.
The worst thing I've eaten
that's
in recent
really
memory.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, I've made a lot of mac and cheese without the milk.
Yeah.
You can
just
like
the
even,
butter.
Even
you
the
can
Easy
do it.
Mac. The Easy Mac in the microwave is like you could just use water and steam.
Just water.
Yeah.
So
that was the thing. I did not have
water.
I did not have butter.
Anything.
I did not have milk.
I'm trying to I'm positive that I've made it with just like using mayonnaise or Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
I know that's happened.
Yeah.
Without having butter or milk. And just like scoop. You just need something to emulsify the powder into a non-powder form.
Exactly.
Once you get that done, it's going to mix in. You're making,
to go.
You're just making a real, that's a real ghetto roux.
Yeah.
Using the mac and cheese powder and some Hellman's mayonnaise. You know, if you can get that,
Paula Deen's mac and cheese.
Get that with, it's probably,
get
it's probably what
going
it is.
And get it, make it.
You're in business.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to breakfast foods for a moment.
Absolutely.
A very popular breakfast food amongst pretty much every girl I know is Nutella.
Okay.
Sure.
Are you a fan?
I am a big fan, and I have a lot of thoughts on Nutella. I'm a big fan of tortilla chips and Nutella.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I can see the salty and sweet. That makes sense to me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like chocolate-covered pretzels, it makes corn
pretzels.
Chips. Yeah,
why
not?
I'm a big fan of pretzels. Dipping pretzels in Nutella. That's easy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's easy.
And peanut butter is amazing,
too. But tortilla chips, that is so dynamite. The texture, the salty sweet. Wow.
I've not tried that, but I will.
It's not Nutella, but I was at your house, it was either Breaking Bad or whatever, one of those parties, and you had cookie butter.
Oh, speculoos. That shit is dangerous.
It's like if you've ever flown a plane, if you've ever flown been on a plane or whatever where they've given you like treats and they were like Biscoff cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, those
it's
are
like,
good.
It's like Biscoff cookies. It's like a ginger type of cookie or whatever, but it's ground up and it's like a peanut butter that tastes like that.
Sure.
It's so goddamn.
Yeah.
Well, that's essentially what the speculoos cookie butter is made out of. Are those cookies?
It's like a ginger snap.
Oh man.
I dated a woman who was a food editor for some sort of food website, and one of her articles was making that. How to make it at home.
Oh, nice. Oh.
And she did. She made,
it
she bought, she
good.
Bought a bunch of those Biscoff cookies and may have used some sort of organic option of those.
Yeah.
And then, you know, mixed in butter or vanilla. I forget what the recipe was, but it came out amazing.
Oh, wow.
Almost better because it tasted homemade, but still had the same essence of that.
So good.
But yeah, that stuff is. It's cookies mashed up.
Exactly.
It's chewed up cookies in a jar.
That's like every kid's dream right
there. It's like the candy cookie, like Golden Grahams, Teddy Grahams or whatever.
I read an article about the top selling items at Trader Joe's, and that was definitely top five.
I would have to imagine so. Well, the reason reason we got on this tangent, I brought Nutella.
Yes.
I found out that one jar of Nutella is sold every 2.5 seconds. And to put that in perspective, one person is born every 8 seconds. So there's essentially...
That's insane.
Yeah, almost 3 jars of Nutella per person born.
I used to have a roommate from New Zealand, and he would go through Nutella like so fucking fast.
It's so good. You shouldn't go through it that fast. It's too good.
It's so
too
like,
delicious.
It's
waffles. Like, put that on waffles with syrup.
I'm gonna have to. I'll be honest. I don't recall if I've ever had it.
Oh God.
I think I don't. I don't know if I'm. Maybe
Hazelnut.
I've had it, but maybe I've never had it. I don't know.
Hazelnut spread.
Yeah.
Not quite chocolate.
It dates back to the Napoleonic Wars.
Okay.
And here's why. So during the Napoleonic Wars, Napoleon was trying to pretty much like strangle British commerce. He was trying to like block it out. So there was a blockade, continental blockade. And what that did is it caused the price of chocolate to skyrocket. So chocolatiers in Italy, they were trying to make their dwindling chocolate reserves last. So what they did is they would chop up hazelnuts and mix that in with the chocolate to make their supplies last longer. And this became very popular. They dubbed the paste Gianjula.
Gianjua. or something.
Janjua,
like that.
I think Janjua. Something like that.
It's like the laxative
exactly.
into cocaine.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they cut it. It used to be pure. They cut that shit.
Yeah.
And now it's...
made it better, though.
Yeah, now they're slinging Nutella rocks.
Actually made it better.
And then a century later, the practice died out after chocolate became more readily available. But a century later, during World War II, rationing across Europe made chocolate scarce once again. So an enterprising Italian baker, a pastry maker named Pietro Ferrero, turned to hazelnuts in 1946, birthing pasta Gianjua, and then he renamed it Nutella in 1964. And here's
a fun fact.
All the Nutella sold each year could be spread over more than 1,000 soccer fields.
A thousand.
That's insane.
That's so much goddamn Nutella.
There's there's a new Hershey's option I saw a commercial for yesterday. Comes in the exact same
of
jar,
course.
And it's just Hershey's chocolate Nutella. Spread. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
For breakfast is what they're marketing it for. Put it on your toast. It's chocolate toast.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't know why. So there's no protein in there. I would have to look. I wonder if Nutella has a decent protein.
Brought to you by Perlodent brand dentures.
It's got you because it's based off of a nut, right?
Off
hazelnut?
Of a nut.
Is that a really hazelnut's a real nut, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it's not very high, but...
Nuts have a tendency to have a decent amount of protein.
Sure, like, peanut butter's
got
great.
A good chunk of protein.
It's a great protein source.
Yeah, I'll mix peanut butter with my... I got that whey protein, and I'll always do, like, 2 scoops of the whey protein and then a bunch of peanut butter.
There's about 20 grams of protein in a cup of hazelnuts.
Sure. Well, that's... I would like to see what the Nutella is. I would see what's the amount.
How many hazelnuts are in a jar?
How much nut is actually in the Nutella?
Yeah.
How much of the Nutella is actually newt?
According to Nutella's official nutrition facts, about 2 grams of protein.
Oh, so very, very low.
Very little.
Almost non-existent.
Exactly. You'd have to eat a lot of Nutella to get 20 grams of protein.
I feel like you burn that eating that.
Yeah.
I feel like chewing that.
Yeah.
Not
a good ratio.
No. Yeah, no.
I'm assuming
no.
the caloric content
ratio needs work
to carbohydrate ratio is not going to make that a very sound dietary choice.
Yeah. Here's a completely off-topic fact: the Beatles played fewer shows in the United States during their entire career than Justin Bieber did during a single 4-month leg of his last tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Step it up, Beatles. Yeah.
Come on, Beatles. Come on, the
what
Beatles.
What are you guys doing?
Stupid
come
Beatles.
Come on, the Beatles.
Too busy being
so
bigger
big.
Than Jesus and being the conductor on Shining Time Station after George
so
Carlin.
Big.
Ringo.
Beatles. Hey, we're the biggest band ever. We're going to do 8 shows.
Losers. Lazy. That's just laziness.
I mean, but I'd be curious. I mean, conversely, even though as big as Justin Bieber is, I'd like to know percentage-wise if there was a way to take the Beatles in their prime versus Justin Bieber in their prime and see who's sold out faster or who's had way more people. Do you know what I mean? Because back in the day, the Beatles, there was 4 channels. Like, you, when you were watching Ed Sullivan, you had to watch the Beatles.
Sure.
Versus Justin Bieber. Now, a lot of people don't like Justin Bieber, but back then, everybody loved the Beatles.
Yeah. You were watching it.
You were watching
because you were watching that show.
Exactly. So I'd be curious. Like, the reason the Beatles played so few shows is because their audiences were so huge.
Yeah,
they couldn't hear themselves play, whereas Justin Bieber can hear himself play now.
Right.
Of course, he's got ear in ear.
He's got the backing track.
Yeah, the Beatles didn't have inner ear monitors back then too, so that could be a problem. I don't know.
The Biebs is dancing around a lot more than the Beatles. Also,
yeah, he has more moves.
Who's working harder?
Yeah. Yeah. Really? He's more of a showman.
Yeah.
Physically, I think Biebs is up there shaking it a little bit more.
Yeah. Who's putting in more effort to their production?
Yeah.
The Biebs.
Listen, that undercut takes work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. The choreography.
Yep.
Although he's yet to play the sitar.
The Biebs.
At least George Harrison has that on him.
Yeah, the sitar.
The sitar.
An underrated instrument.
Yeah.
Here's something. Last couple episodes ago, we were talking about what groups of things
were
called.
Oh, animal grouping
names. Yeah, what animal groupings
like,
were called.
Like, example, like a murder of crows.
Yeah, or a parliament of owls.
Yes.
A group of ponies is called a string.
String of ponies?
String of
a
ponies.
A string of ponies. And a group of ferrets is called a business.
A business of ferrets? That sounds like the fucking
ferrets.
New Game of Thrones book.
It's like a business of ferrets over here. Now what the wise asses?
If the Beastmaster...
A corporation of weasels.
If the Beastmaster had one more ferret, he would have had a business of ferrets. He would have
had a business.
Wishes. And spiders.
And Soda.
Going back to the Calaron wolf spider.
Yeah.
is a clutter of spiders.
Oh, well, that's pretty.
It's like it
sounds
apt.
Right.
Yeah,
sounds right.
Usually, you find them in like areas you've neglected.
A clutter of spiders
I
over
feel
here.
Like, to me. Yeah. To me, any amount of spiders is a shit ton too many spiders.
Yeah.
Too many spiders is... Okay, yeah. Any amount of spiders is too many spiders.
Yeah. Gotta kill them. A lot of people try and save them. Try and put them outside.
People do that.
You know what? You came in here.
Exactly.
You breached our contract.
You are not subleasing this apartment.
You breached our contract. I don't need a situation.
Yeah.
I need to set an example. I need to put you right outside the door. Let your friends know. Come in here. This could be you.
Yeah.
I'll break all your legs.
Yeah. I have a little tiny crucifix where I crucify them right outside.
You ever get a bad spider bite? Not good. Not good, though. Spider bite that just gets bigger and bigger and never, ever goes away.
A friend of mine got bitten by a brown recluse, I believe, and was about an hour away from losing his arm.
Wow.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Something crazy where it was only because his girlfriend got him to go to the hospital, finally, after he was like, it's fine. They were like, what the fuck? Thank God you're here right now.
Yeah. I got bit in college. I think it lasted just bumpy, pussy, gross little spot that just slowly got bigger as I would scratch it and spread the whatever was in there.
Yeah.
And it lasted for, I think, a year and a half.
Yikes.
When I was living in Michigan, I was maybe 18, 19 in the summertime, I got bit right in the corner of where the inside of your elbow, where you're, you know, the inside,
the crook.
The crease of your elbow.
Yeah.
I got bit there by a spider, and it was there for about a year. It was a good, it was like a zit that always got replenished, and it was the grossest thing.
Not good.
It was goddamn spiders.
Yeah.
I always set them up. I kill some. The worst thing, I'm deathly afraid of spiders. I shouldn't say I'm deathly afraid. I just really hate spiders. But the thing I hate most on spiders is when you kill a spider and you hear and you can feel that crunch.
Uh huh.
Like it's
well, you gotta be careful
worse.
Sometimes because then baby spiders can crawl out.
Have you seen those videos?
Yeah.
Boy, if you hate spiders,
nightmare fuel.
You should see one of those videos nightmare where fuel. they smash a spider
and
1,000 spiders come out of the spider.
Yeah.
Dead spider, now you have 1,000 spiders.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah. Oh, look up one of those YouTube videos if you don't want to sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you. Terrifying. Also, I hate when you try and kill one and it gets away.
Oh, then you live in
then you're like,
oh, fear.
No, he hates me now.
Like, oh,
now the tables have turned and I'm going to have to sleep and that spider is not.
He remembers.
He might be one of the 8 I swallow each year.
Yeah.
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 Well, on that uplifting note, I think we are unfortunately reaching our time limit.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
Good.
Yeah,
that's the point of the program.
A lot of fun facts.
Yeah. So where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Sell
you
yourself.
You can follow me on Twitter at PizzaNachos69. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to follow my friend Carl Walzine, you can follow him at DadBoner. If you'd like to buy the book Power Moves, go ahead and just type that into the old search engine on Amazon. It'll come right up.
It's a very, very funny book. It's a really good, quick read. It's just a really great coffee table book. I suggest everybody buying that.
It's a lot of fun.
If you like cool shit, you'll like that book.
Put it in your John.
You might.
Share it with a friend.
Cool,
and that's the kind of thing.
I
guarantee you, you'll read it. You're probably going to give it to a buddy and say you have to read
this. Yes, it's a really good book.
It's a guy's book.
Nice.
It's really funny. I suggest everybody reading it.
Thank you.
What else you got coming up? Anything else on the horizon?
I am going to be in a fun show called A Night of 1,000 Seegers at the Satellite in Los Angeles. That's with me, comedians Matt Bronger, Kyle Kinane, produced by J.D. Reisner. If you're familiar with the Yacht Rock series on Channel 101, Tim Heidecker is in that.
Okay. Oh,
we're doing it's a rock opera based on the life of Bob Seger that they made up.
I love it.
It's good with Karate the Band. There's an actual live band.
Fantastic.
It's going to be so, so good.
When is this?
I don't know the exact date.
All right, so keep your eyes out if you're in the LA area for Night of 1,000 Seegers.
Yeah, go to the website for the Satellite LA and you'll be able to find that. I believe it's at the end of the month.
I was listening to, God damn it. No, I can't think of the song. I'm drawing a blank. It was off of God damn it! It's not Kalamazoo. It's God damn it! What's the song I'm thinking of?
It's Saturday, June 28th.
There you go. I knew it was soon because
blank.
I thought about that shortly ago. So check that out.
God damn it. What's the Bob Seger song? It's not Kalamazoo. It's
Kathmandu.
Kathmandu.
There you go.
God damn it. I was drawing a
blank. There you go.
You're stuck in Michigan.
I'm having a huge. I'm stuck in Michigan mode, Michigan cities, but Kathmandu is such a good song.
Sure. Holy shit.
That whole album is a good album, too.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's exciting. Cool. Well, there you have it. Mike Burns. Everybody follow him. Everybody buy his book. As usual, you can follow me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2.
And you can find me at Osteoferocious.
Yeah, you can.
You sure can. And if you want to follow the podcast, we're on Twitter as well, at TWL Podcast. You can email us, TWLpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. And, yeah, thank you guys for listening. As always, we appreciate your support on iTunes, all the ratings and reviews. We really appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, you guys mean a lot to us.
Feels good.
If you were here right now, we would do a trust fall with you, and we would catch you.
Yeah, or you would catch us.
Yeah, hopefully. Falling away.
And you're caught.
Yeah.
Awesome. And so, yeah, there you go. Thanks again for listening. Tell all your friends about us. Like Batman says, I want you to do us a favor. Tell all your friends, blah, 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 blah. You get the quote.
Mm-hmm.
And usual, as always,
if it's not whole milk, it's not all milk.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.